I about hung up on you. I thought this was some kind of a telemarketing call. I thought,
no.
What the heck? No,
that's when they asked for Joseph A. Arterburn, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
The real name. man, walking outside, you know, right now, this time of year, this morning in particular, that little bit of crisp feel in the air, that, you know, this is my time of year. I'm sure you're feeling the same way.
You bet. I've got the windows open, doors open, screens, nice little breeze coming in, feeling cool. Trees out their window are starting to change just a little bit. Cottonwoods are.
Right.
One's turning. I got one that seems to turn pretty early every year.
Yep. That's a sure sign. It's from moving from the eastern part of the state out here to the west, about the only thing I miss is some of the reds that come in the leaves. We seem to be a little short of that, but we got a bunch of other stuff that'll make up for it.
Yeah. It's still better out here.
That's right. Now, one of the big questions is this time of year, you know, everything's happening, hunting, fishing, things like that. When you walk out of the house, do you grab a rifle, a shotgun, or a fishing pole?
Well, that's actually pretty easy because I always got a rifle and a shotgun in my pickup anyway.
So, right.
So it's just, yeah. But really, it's more whether to put in the fishing pole if you want it bouncing around in the back and do what the heck we're going to do.
And what do you got to walk, 300 feet to get to the lake?
it's a little further now, though.
With the water down?
My kind of low. But there's spots.
That's good. Well, let's talk about getting ready for camp. And camp, you and I, when we think of camp, not only is it the hunting or the fishing that we're doing, but we're always thinking about camp menus and foods and stuff like that. Let's talk a little bit about one of our favorite subjects, Dutch oven cooking.
Yeah.
And what
never
new,
heard of it.
Never heard of it, yeah. What new recipes have you concocted for this season?
Well, I tell you, talking about, I mean, let me preface this whole thing. You caught me at about the perfect time because I'm getting ready for a big waterfowl / grouse camp we're going to hold up in the sandhills. So I'm right in the middle of, like when you talk about getting ready for hunting season, I'm sort of doing an Uber version of that because I've got to get all this equipment. It's, you know, I got the trailer completely empty. Now I got to reload it again and get it up and all organized. So that's just the camping staff. Plus, you know, let alone talking about the decoys and blinds and shotguns and duck calls. I mean, right now it seems overwhelming, but you just take it one step at a time.
And you've been doing it long enough. You kind of know what the drill is. We ought to tell people when we talk about camps like this, and we're talking about one of your writers' camps where you're having other writers and reps from companies come in. It's quite a production, but you have a reputation in the industry of being one of the places to go.
Yeah, this is something I started 20-some years ago when I worked for Cabela's. But yeah, when we camp, well, as somebody said, boy, when you camp, you camp.
It borders on what they call glamping now.
Without the glamour, maybe.
Without the glamour. Every camp I have ever been to with you, and I've appreciated all of them, you're not short of anything. I mean, equipment's good.
We try to have all the comforts. I guess, you know, to kind of explain it, we start with wall tents. You know, these aren't pup tents that you have to crawl into and bang your head on. Everything's wall tents, or especially for the big social and cook shack in the gathering area. And then, you know, everybody has their own sleeping tents, or we put two to a sleeping tent. And you know, so it's comfortable. We're on cots and mattresses, camp mattresses, and, you know, sleeping bags. We have, you know, pellet stove keeping the big tent warm, and like you say, a whole boatload of cast iron.
Oh yeah, cast iron and Camp Chef.
Camp Chef has always been a sponsor, knock on wood, and they're a good one, and you couldn't really do it without them because they, you know, that all the cast iron is camp chef, and they take two stoves. One's a three burner, one's a two burner. You know, so I can produce a lot of food for a camp full of hunters.
I really appreciated that when we had our turkey camp last spring, and I was down there helping with some of the cooking. I like that camp chef equipment, and I particularly like that little, whatever you call that little aluminized dome-looking thing that you set over a skillet, and it'll almost make it a Dutch oven.
Dutch oven dome.
Dutch oven dome. Okay.
Yeah, that's a camp chef deal, and that basically takes away, so you can cook with a Dutch oven on like a propane stove, because it keeps the heat in.
Right.
As it, you know, curl around up on along the top, like you'd have briquettes on top if you were cooking with briquettes or embers. So, but yeah, just so it turns, yeah, even your either a skillet or a Dutch oven, you know, you get the surrounded heat.
I got to catch up with Brooks and talk your rep for Camp Chef and talk to him about that.
You bet. He'll be up in Ellesmere for this camp.
So. Oh, okay. Well, tell him I'm still waiting on an email back from him.
I always count on him. In fact, we're working on the menu right now. He was going to pitch some ideas, and I've got some ideas, and we're kind of playing off some of the camp favorites. But we kind of got a new wrinkle. This is the first camp I've had that could include fresh duck for meals. So we're going to go a little deeper into the cookbook and see what we can come up with that.
You know, when do you leave for camp?
October 9th.
Oh, okay. I got some time. I have a recipe I'll send you. It's a poor man's duck à l'orange.
Oh.
Excuse
my French.
It, you know, for you, very easy to prepare, cooks long, serves a lot of people, and it is excellent.
Oh, perfect.
I will
fire that baby over here.
I will get that emailed off to you. That might be one you can spring on them up there and show them how it's done.
All right. We'll be passing right through North Platte on the way. We're heading up to Ellesmere, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Up in the Sand Hills.
Pretty country, pretty area.
Pretty country up there, yeah. I thought I knew where every place was in Nebraska until somebody said they were going to Ellesmere. I thought, I have no idea where that is.
That's kind of like going to Purdom.
Yeah, you go through Purdom. Yeah, you go through the town of Purdom.
Or you turn north at Sutherland and head to Flats, you know, one of those places.
Yeah.
That's one of the cool things that we get to do, is we get to go find stuff like this and go outside and play in it.
Yeah. Well, you can just sit there and watch your cell service disappear, too. The closer you get, further you get out into the Sand Hills.
Well,
so it's pretty remote.
What's the problem with that?
Nothing at all. But I tell you, it surprises some of these guys in the industry that think they're going to keep in touch with the office back home, though.
Right.
Some of them, it takes them a day or two to get used to the idea, hey, you're disconnected.
Yeah, you better jump in the pickup and drive back about 15 miles to the high point. You might get a bar.
Yeah. But the smart ones appreciate it and just say, yeah, they know I'm out of touch, so
yep.
They can just relax.
Well, all they got to do is look at the commercials on TV with Verizon and U.S. Cellular, and they show the map of the U.S. in their coverage, and Nebraska's always the hole.
Yeah. Especially Ellesmere. There's a little dot, dot right at Ellesmere.
I was just talking to some guys I know up in that country the other day, and they said the lakes up in the Sand Hills and a little further north are just full of teal right now. They really haven't moved.
Nice, yeah.
And,
I know that the droughts caused some problems. I was talking to Scott Fink, our outfitter. He's with Goose Creek Outfitters right there at Ellesmere. And he said, yeah, some of his pasture ponds have dried up, or not what he was hoping, but he's also got a Goose Creek runs through there, and he's got some other bigger ponds and some neighbors, too. So, yeah, we think it's going to be good.
Very good.
We think it'll be sort of a combination of laying out on some ponds and maybe some jump shooting, you know, along that creek.
That will be fun.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's more real hunting than going to, you know, an outfitter that does all the work and all you got to do is show up in the blind, sip coffee, and shoot ducks.
I
really like the way you set up your camps. There's more of the realistic experience of hunting and getting in tune with nature with the camps I've been involved with you than any of the other ones I did, and I've always liked that. That's why I keep coming back, I guess.
Yeah, we try to get right out in the middle of it. We call it, you know, it's semi-remote. We don't want to be too remote because we got to drive that big trailer in there. That's about the only thing that limits us. We got to be able to get that trailer of equipment in there. Other than that, the more remote, the better.
I seem to remember a time when we were trying to back down the trailer that had been jackknifed on an icy hill.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a little bit of snow and rain and turned that hill into pretty slick stuff and didn't have quite enough oomph to get up over that hill, and gravity decided we'd start going backwards, and it's pretty hard to steer a trailer backwards anyway, let alone when your wheels aren't doing anything.
At 30 degrees, 30-degree incline coming up.
And I just thought, boy, I wonder if we're just going to go right over this side of this thing. But that was still kind of a rodeo, no matter what you talk about. And we had to leave the trailer there until it dried out.
Yeah, it was a week or so before we get back in there and get your trailer.
I chalked that up to another one of the Wyndham adventures.
That, you know, I don't have trips. I have adventures.
I thought, well, why am I surprised that Rick got me into this?
When you say you want remote, boss, guess what?
I guess I forgot to mention that we will need to get back out of there.
Yeah, you did. You said
get you.
You said to get you in there to hunt. You didn't say anything about coming out.
That changed my whole direction now. Now I've added that to the agenda.
I had some people from National Wild Turkey Federation and one of the rep companies come in for a turkey hunt. Bob Robb, do you know Bob Robb?
Oh, yeah.
Bob was in for that one, and we were in a cabin that I got access to west of Paxton on the South Platte River. And then the gal that was the PR person for National Wild Turkey Federation, she was out of South Carolina. She came out here, and this is a fall hunt, and she had never seen snow except on postcards and pictures. And we had a blizzard. I mean, it locked us down for about 36 hours. Right. And she was panicking. You know, we lost power to the cabin, so we were on, you know, on batteries and fireplace and Coleman lanterns and stuff. And, I mean, it's howling. It's one of those blizzards that, you know, shakes a house. And she goes, how long do these things last? And I said, oh, week, 10 days usually. And she about freaked out.
I bet. That was real nice of you.
We had all the trucks parked right in front of the cabin, 30 feet away, and there were times when you couldn't see them.
Oh, man.
It's one of those types of blizzards, but it blew over, and then we got out, and people started shooting turkeys. They had a good time.
Yeah, welcome to Nebraska.
Welcome to Nebraska, yeah. And then the next day, we were using sunscreen. You know?
Yeah.
That's good old Nebraska.
So
let's get back to the campfire, and what kind of new recipes are you going to do? You said you're going to try the duck. Do you got, or maybe one of your favorites. What do you really serve well in camp?
You know, one of them that it's really not a new one because it's everybody likes it, but I kind of consider myself a breakfast cook as much as anything. I always wanted to be a short order cook for breakfast at a diner somewhere, you know. Maybe Kenny's.
Aspire high, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, one of them that I do is my stuffed French toast.
That was and is pretty good, I'll admit.
Yeah, you know, cinnamon raisin bread, cream cheese, and honey ham in the middle, you know, and then make a sandwich out of that. Kind of, there are secrets to it, to doing it right, you know.
Right.
And then in a French toast type egg dip, and that one always goes over well. So I, you know, just pretty much always have that one, you know, at the ready. Turkey camp, I always plan on, this is, you know, counting on my hunters, of course, but making a wild turkey enchiladas, which is always, you know, I always like to, when we're in these camps, you know, I always try to serve what we're hunting, you know, but again, like I say, it's up to the hunters. You got to come in, and so far, so good, knock on wood, I guess, you know, that we'll come in with something. But so, yeah, that's, I'm interested in your duck recipe. And then the other side of this, by the way, while we're talking about it, is grouse. We're going to be hunting basically ducks in the morning and grouse in the afternoon. So
grouse takes some planning on the part of the cook, because grouse is one of those that can so easily turn from tasting good to gnawing on boot leather.
Yeah.
Dry out real quick. I got a couple grouse recipes, grouse prairie chicken recipes. Let me see if I can get one of those to you as well.
Yeah, I'd look at that, because I know, like you say, it's a little finicky. If you don't do it right, you see the guy across the table kind of gnawing on something and trying to smile, but you can tell he's not enjoying it.
I put it in the same category with cooking, like quail and dove. You know, it's easy to mess that one up.
Yeah.
So
goes from good to bad in a hurry.
Right. What do you got for desserts?
Oh, you think that they have room left over for desserts?
Well, you know, we always kind of counted on it there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You always have desserts. No matter what they say they're stuffed, but then I'll bring out the I like my bananas overload is what I call it. It's kind of a recipe I've been tweaking for quite a while, but it's a combination of bananas slathered with vanilla pudding with Keebler Graham cracker or chocolate covered crackers and marshmallows on top, and just melt that whole thing together. And
you had a bananas Foster's in camp one time that was pretty good. I remember that.
We did that once. That would seem like that was a little complicated. One thing I learned about the banana recipe the first time I made it, I think I made it in a 12-inch Dutch oven. You know, I thought everybody will have a scoop, and so everybody kind of served themselves. You know, kind of come through and scoop it up. And so when I went in to get mine, it was all gone.
Uh-huh.
So now I use a 14-inch.
Make sure there's enough left for you.
Yeah, it's like I learned my lesson. I walked in and said, hey, everybody.
With your contacts with the different companies that make outdoor gear, I'm always intrigued with some of the gadgets that you have in camp. And one of the first ones that I really got tickled with is, I believe it was a fishing camp, but you ask if, and it was a little warmer weather, and you ask if anybody wanted a margarita. And everybody turned around and looked like, yeah. And you produce this two-cycle margarita mixer. Crank it up and blend margaritas, man. That's like, this is a tough camp.
That's always a head turner. We would do that, or we'd go back in the cook shack where they couldn't see what we were doing. You know, we'd ask how many wanted margaritas, and they'd think, yeah, we're going to come back with a plastic cup of margarita mix or something. And so pretty soon in the back in the cook shack, you hear,
yeah,
and it fires up like it sounds like a chainsaw going in there. Pretty soon, what is going on in there?
Well, that's it. It's two. It's a chainsaw with a blender on top.
That's exactly what it is.
And then I remember one camp where this was a winter camp, black powder deer camp, and you ask if anybody wanted like an espresso, and who is it, Bresny, I think. He said, yeah, he'd have one. So you disappeared behind the curtain into the cook shack, and you hear all this like you had that type of machine back there, and I look back in there and you're just mixing it on the bar but using your hands going. That was that was classic. I love that. Did he ever catch on?
I don't know. But you think he would, for crying out loud, LP. We're out in the middle of nowhere. What do you think you're going to do?
Well, it's your reputation, Joe. You can pull it off.
Yeah, we aim to please.
What other hunts you got planned for the fall?
I'm going to kind of the one I'm looking forward to as much as anything is hunting with the boys down by Imperial.
Back in the home and, country, yep.
Yeah, we're going to, now that Jack has grandkids, we got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old.
There you go.
You know, those are the two oldest. And so last year we set up just the social tent we all slept in there. And so we're going to do that again now that we're, you know, kind of getting the grandkids involved. And I found out it's kind of the learning curve on hunting, that the hunting becomes less and less important and it's more about who you're hunting with. And so it turned into more of a camping experience than it did a hunting experience.
Well, but that's a good
hunting
way
was an excuse for us to be out there.
That's a good way to start, though.
You bet.
You're raising them right.
Yeah. And that's not too rough either. It's, you know, down on the old home farm. And so it's good adventure for those kids.
Oh, I'm sure they think they're out in the wilderness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. They like it when the coyotes start howling and, you know,
yep.
Where are those coyotes? Where are those coyotes? Oh, just right over there across the fence.
They're going to come in the tent and eat you tonight, man. Well, we got about a minute or so left, Joe. What else you want to throw at us this morning?
Oh, man, let's see. I had to talk about, I kind of switched over, you know, some of the tents that I had. Now we're using those white duck tents that you're familiar
yes.
with now.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things, those
are nice.
I got a couple more of those. We're going to set those up again, and it's kind of cool. We got a good line of, I guess you'd call them sponsors. Like I said, Camp Chef is there. We're going to do heavy shot, and
okay.
Frumke is sending shotguns, which is cool, pretty cool.
Okay.
And then Sitka gear with their waterfowl stuff. One thing I need to mention is Lion Energy. Look up lionenergy.com. That's the little
battery-powered thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been talking to those guys, and man, that's kind of changing the way we do business in this camp. We got those nice little small units that, you know, you can light up each individual tent.
Right.
And they also have the bigger units to power the cook shack and the social tent. And what the other guys like about it, too, is they can charge their phones and all their devices right out of them, too.
It was. They were pretty cool.
Yeah. That's just something that's impressed me lately, because I was kind of, you know, that was one of my concerns on how I was going to keep up with the power demands of camp these days. But yeah. I think I've got it solved.
Still very
working
good.
With them on that. Yeah.
We're out of time, partner. But we could.
I'll have to
get you back on again sometime.
That was it. Yeah. Heck no. Let's keep going.
All right, bud. Well, you have a good one, and I'll try to get those recipes to you.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
All right. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.